This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Colorado-based science writer and 538 website lead science writer, Christy Ashwanden, author of Good to Go, What the Athlete and All of Us Can Learn from the Strange Science of Recovery. Welcome to our program.
Thanks so much for having me.
What exactly is recovery?
That's a really good question, and that was sort of where I started as I began researching this book. You know, it seems like a really simple question, what is recovery? And it turned out to be a little bit difficult to answer. So at its most basic level, recovery is rest and relaxation. But from an athletic standpoint, what recovery is sort of the time in between workouts, in between bouts of exercise, and it's actually during this time that your body makes the adaptations that make you stronger, fitter, faster. And so when you go into the gym and lift weights, you're not getting stronger. The muscles are not getting stronger at that moment when you're lifting the weights. You get stronger in response to it. So you finish your workout, and then your body goes to work repairing all of the little damage that you did to the muscles while you were working out. And it's in this recovery phase that all of the good benefits happen.
As a former elite-level runner, cyclist, and skier yourself, you must have known a lot about recovery. So what's strange about the science of it?
Yeah, what's strange about the science of it is that it's actually kind of hard to study. And the reason is there are so many different components to it. It's not one single thing. And so if you're trying to figure out if a particular practice or product helps recovery, there isn't just one single thing that you can measure to determine that. It's actually really difficult to measure. And that means that it's a difficult question to answer if you're saying, okay, does this product or does this thing really work with recovery? We don't have one simple measure that can tell us that. It's very complex. It's also highly susceptible to placebo effects. And in fact, my book has an entire chapter about placebos. And it turns out, as I did the research, that a lot of the things that people do for recovery really seem to work using the placebo effect.
What's wrong with the placebo?
That's a really good question. And my answer would be nothing. Like, it's very powerful. And we often think about placebos as, oh, that's a sign that this thing didn't work. And while it may be true that whatever this thing is that's exploiting the placebo effect may not be, you know, having some other physiological effect, the fact is our bodies are really powerful at using expectation to create meaningful, real results. And so if you can do something that's using the placebo effect, I think my answer would be go ahead and do it.
You write about many studies that are just too small to have meaningful results. How about drinking beer?
That's a great question. The first chapter of the book actually is about beer and running. And I had this question, and I think it was something that's probably occurred to a lot of other athletes. I know that there's some sports groups here in Boulder that I've belonged to at various times that like to go out for a workout and then meet up at the bar afterwards for a refreshing beer. And so I thought, you know, this is really enjoyable, it's relaxing, but is it really good for me? And is it possible that beer could be impeding my recovery? You know, I think alcohol is a little bit like caffeine, or beer is a little bit like coffee, where we think, oh, it's so pleasurable and kind of feels a little bit naughty, so it must not be good for us. But at the same time, we're sort of hoping that it is. And I think beer sort of shares this quality. And so as I describe in the book, I actually got together with some researchers at Colorado Mesa University out in Grand Junction. We actually put together a study to try and look at this. And it was really instructive for me to do this because what I learned is, first of all, it's really hard to study recovery, just as I was saying. So, you know, we said, okay, this is a simple question. Does beer impair recovery? That sounds really straightforward. But the first question or the first problem that we ran into was, how do we measure that? What are we even talking about? And so we came up with some measures that we looked at in the study. We found an interesting result, but I found it really difficult to trust because the test that we ended up using to determine and sort of measure recovery was something called a run to exhaustion. And so what this is you're put on a treadmill at a certain speed, and you just have to keep running as long as you can take it. And what I found is that it felt like more of a psychological test than a physical test. And, you know, in one aspect, that's legitimate because one part of recovery is how you're feeling and whether, you know, it's enjoyable, whether you can manage the discomfort and whatnot. But it didn't feel like the best measure of the thing that I wanted to get at.
So is that beer going to help my recovery?
So our study, the results that we got were fairly inconclusive, I would say. But I think that the bottom line, what we learned from our study, but I've also gone pretty deep into the scientific literature. There are some other studies that have been done on this. And I think the conclusion that I reached is that one beer is probably not bad. You don't want to drink a whole bunch of beers. I mean, everyone knows that getting drunk is not, you know, going to help your recovery. If you go out and do a run and then drink a bunch of beers afterwards, you're not going to feel great. But one beer is probably not going to make too much of a difference either way. And it is true that beer, you know, it has liquid in it. It is hydrating in that manner, as long as you're eating some food and getting, you know, some salt and some other stuff from, you can get this from food, you're going to be fine.
Speaking of hydrating, scientifically speaking, actually, how much water should we be drinking?
Oh, that's a great question. There's this sort of mythical number. There are mythical numbers that are out on the internet and that are repeated oftentimes in news stories and whatnot. And it turns out that there isn't one specific number that you can pin down. The best advice, actually, that we have is to just drink to thirst. We've been sort of programmed by all of these marketing campaigns, by the manufacturers of all kinds of beverages. And this isn't just sports drinks. I mean, now you can't go anywhere these days without, you know, seeing people walking around with bottled water and water bottles and whatnot. So we've really been sort of programmed with this marketing message that you have to drink before you're thirsty and drink early and often. But it turns out that that's not really the case. Our bodies are totally capable of dealing with a little bit of dehydration. It's not to say that you shouldn't drink anything while exercising or after exercising. But the idea that you just, you know, it's a critical thing that you absolutely replenish every single drop that you sweat out just isn't held up by the science. And in fact, what's happening now is we have people who are dying from overhydration, believe it or not. It's called water intoxication. And it turns out that if you drink too much water, your blood becomes so dilute that you can get brain swelling, and it's dangerous and potentially even deadly. So if you're drinking and you're not feeling that, or it's not feeling pleasant, that's your body saying, hey, we're good. That's enough. And so I think one overarching theme to my book is that it's okay to trust your body. Like, our bodies are really like capable and good at handling changing environments and all of this. And so if you listen to your body's hunger signals, to thirst and things like that, you're really going to be okay. You don't need a scientist standing by telling you exactly how much you need to eat or drink. You can listen to your thirst.
Is there a celebrity endorsed drink, product, or device? My favorite is the infrared pajamas.
Oh, yeah, Tom Brady.
Worth buying for actual beneficial results.
I didn't find any products that were spectacular. I can tell you, I'll give you a little spoiler here. The most potent and powerful recovery method is sleep. And so there are some attempts here to commercialize this and to commodify it. Tom Brady has these magical pajamas that are purported to have infrared properties, and all that means is that they're warm and they reflect heat back to your body, which, you know, that can be good. Warm pajamas are good, although it's actually optimal for sleeping to be a little bit cool in the bedroom. But Tom Brady does have one thing right. Sleep's important. And he's correct to prioritize sleep. I don't know that you need to spend $200 on his pajamas.
What did those Olympic gold medal performances fueled by Big Macs reveal about sports nutrition?
I think the takeaway here is that nutrition is important, but it's not the most important thing. And so we sort of seem to attribute more power to some of these things than they really have. So the basics, you know, training hard, getting good sleep, you know, eating good food, making sure you're getting enough energy is important. But we think that, oh, if we just have this one little thing be exactly perfect, that will make the difference. And those differences are small, and they're probably too small to measure in a lot of cases.
What's your best piece of recovery advice for our listeners?
Well, I'm going to give you two pieces. The first is sleep. Prioritize sleep over everything else. But the second is to find some sort of ritual or some sort of way of relaxing, some way to not just physically relax, but mentally as well. Find some way to unwind and to address the stress in your life, both physical and, you know, psychological, emotional, all the things that we normally call just generic stress.
Thank you. My guest is Kristi Ashwanden, author of Good to Go, published by W.W. Norton. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.